safe way, if you do enjoy watching satire and outrage, to consume it without being, without falling into false information or getting swept up into an echo chamber.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess what I would say is, you know, I get a little bit reluctant to talk about sort of media literacy and being critical of sources, because what ends up happening is that because our egos are so strong and motivated reasoning is so strong, we'll tend to be like, oh, I need to be critical of this source, and then say, well, the source is saying what I like, so I'm critical of it, but it's definitely true. Or vice versa, or I'm going to be critical of this source and I don't trust it, so it's definitely wrong. Instead, I would say, ask yourself, if you're emotionally moved by content, right? If you are, especially on social media, if you see a story and you're inclined to like it or share it or respond to it, ask yourself, what is it that this is triggering in me? Why am I interested in responding emotionally to this? Is this perhaps offering me something for a reason? Because I think it's really important for us to always remember that in our media environment, we are the product. We are commodified. Our eyeballs are commodified in the context of television, but also internet, right? So if we are engaging and we are responding, there are people and entities and platforms and companies and advertisers that all have a vested interest in getting us to respond. And especially anger and especially outrage, that genre in particular is very mobilizing, because anger is a mobilizing emotion. So when you're feeling that, ask, why am I feeling this way? Is it possible that someone or something has something to gain from my getting emotionally aroused in this way? And what might else be going on? And are there other sources that I should seek out on this topic?
You reference a great quote from John Stewart about the function of the news media. If we amplify everything, we hear nothing. Do you believe that's part of the problem in our political discourse?
Yeah, you know, it's wild. There's an essay that I still assign that was written in 1948 by these two sociologists who, my gosh, I don't even know what they would say if they saw the media environment now. But in 1948, they were really talking about newspapers and radio and the very beginning stages of television. And they were concerned that this sort of overabundance of information in 1948, they thought that information overload would cause people to start confusing sort of like knowing about things going on in the world with actively participating in politics and making the world better. So I think the information overload is a real catastrophe, because one, people sort of are like, oh, I know everything that's going on. Like, I'm on Twitter all day, therefore I'm politically active and I am participating in democracy. Probably not. Or two, that information overload, especially when you're talking about an ecosystem that does not have the same gatekeeping functions that it used to have, where professional journalists and professional institutions would come in and say what is true and what is not, that information overload contains a lot of BS, empirically false information. And so as a result, we start to question everything. And when we question everything, we have the same problem. You know, this is the media literacy question. If we start questioning everything and say everything could be false, well, then is nothing true? And if that is the case, then democracy ceases to be a viable option, because democracy requires that there be truth and empirical reality on which we take action.